Hello and welcome back to Man of the Match podcast. Spring has just begun, and that means we're in the home stretch, guys. We're going to see a lot of league races heating up. Managers getting fired. I'll talk about that in just a little bit. And we're going to get to see some international games as well. Speaking of international games, recently the international break happened, but that's over now. I'll get to that in a little bit, but let's talk about major headlines. Number one, Julian Nagelsmann fired from Bayern Munich on holiday. He was on vacation and he got fired from Bayern Munich. That's huge. Tuchel did win the Der Klassiker, which is a huge win for Bayern, which honestly I think will help them win the entire league now. So it was a huge game against Dortmund. They won like 4-2, I think. So yeah, that was great. I think that might have been probably was the right decision, especially with their upcoming game against City. You have someone who has experience winning the Champions League. That's a good hire, honestly. And in my opinion, that's Chelsea's worst firing. That's the worst thing they possibly could have done, firing Tuchel earlier in the year. All right, speaking of Chelsea, Graham Potter finally sacked. He will be replaced by what is thought to be Julian Nagelsmann, but we're not sure yet. We'll see what happens in the coming weeks, especially since I think they're still in the Champions League. So, and Potter said that was his main goal, and that's what I think they're going to focus on. And I think the last straw for Potter was just losing to Villa, and now they're in 11th. That's a terrible spot for them, and we'll see what they can do in the Champions League. Some records that players broke over the international break. Messi has 800 career goals. That was achieved against Curaçao, I think. Yeah. Friendly against, I think it was Panama or Curaçao. And now he has 100 international goals for Argentina. 800 over the span of his career, 100 for Argentina. That's pretty good, breaking two records. Oh, and he did have a hat-trick in the game against Curaçao. So, congratulations, Messi. And with shouting out one GOAT, we have to shout out another GOAT. Cristiano Ronaldo, the most caps by any player in international history. Caps meaning games. So, he's played the most games for one country in international history. Congratulations, Ronaldo. I think it was like over 350, I think, which is honestly incredible. Obviously, he doesn't have the World Cup, but you still have to acknowledge him. He's a legend of the game. Harry Kane broke the England goal scoring record. They gave him a Golden Boot trophy. 54 goals. I forgot who's. I think it was Peter Crouch or someone like that. Or maybe, I don't know. But he did break the record of 53. He has 54 now. He broke it in the game against Italy with his penalty. Congratulations to him. Even though I support Italy, it was an unfortunate loss, but I'm actually about to get to the international break. And that was pretty much all the big headlines and records that were broken over the past couple of weeks. All right, international break happened last week. There was a couple of things that went on: Euro 2024 qualifying, CONCACAF Nations League, AFCON qualifiers began. And there was just international friendlies all over the place. You guys wanted me to talk mostly about Euro 2024. That's what I'm going to do. But I obviously have to shout out the other ones. First of all, the international friendlies. Big win for Morocco. 2-1 over Brazil. I believe Belgium beat Germany in a friendly, which isn't good for Germany, at least. Especially since they have to get ready for the upcoming Euro that they're going to have to play in. What else? The Nations League, the CONCACAF Nations League. The United States, Panama, Canada, and Mexico are all in the Gold Cup since they qualified from the CONCACAF Nations League. And they're also in the CONCACAF Nations League Finals. United States will play Mexico, Canada will play Panama, and the winner of those two games goes into the final. And the final winner will, I believe, also go to Copa America. Keep in mind that the CONCACAF 24 Nations League is also really important because it decides which six CONCACAF teams will go into the Copa America 2024. All right, but probably the biggest thing, which you guys voted for, as I said, on my Instagram page, go follow. You got to decide a lot of what goes on and what I talk about in the episodes. The biggest part of the international break was the beginning of Euro 2024 qualifying. Euro 2024 is going to start like next June, I would say, in Germany. That's where it's going to be hosted next year. Last winners of the Euro was Euro 2020. That was Italy. The team's fallen off since then. They couldn't even qualify for the World Cup last year, and I'll talk about them in just a little bit. Let's start with each group. First of all, Group A. In my opinion, probably the biggest surprise of qualifying, Scotland in those great 150 kits, 158th anniversary of the Scotland FA, beating Spain. Incredible performance by the entire Scotland team, especially I think it was McTominay who scored twice in that game. Honestly, an underdog story. They beat one of the biggest nations in, I would say, probably the second or third biggest nation in UEFA right now. And Spain still did well. They beat Norway, granted without Haaland, because Haaland was injured. That was a big reason of why Norway did too good, didn't do that well. And Norway also was in general. But I would say Scotland and Spain, I would say their breaks are a success. Granted, Spain, you could claim that it's okay because they did win against Norway, but it was honestly a bad loss, really bad against Scotland. So yeah, and I would say them two would probably advance to the Euro. I'm kind of making predictions, but I'm just saying who's in a good position right now to advance because top two qualify for the Euro. But obviously there's 10 groups, which means I think it's like third place in some groups going to play in. I'll discover that format soon. But speaking of the rest of the group, Norway, as I said, it was an okay tie against Cyprus and a not good loss against Spain. Granted, no Haaland. We'll see how they do with Haaland if he comes back because he could get injured again. We don't know. But we'll see what happens. Georgia actually I think is in front of Norway because I think they did beat Cyprus. So honestly, they beat Spain. If they beat Spain, they could be in a really good place right now. I think that's what I think. Georgia, we see a lot of underdog stories in the Euros. Maybe Georgia could be in the next. I don't know. But if they do beat Spain, if they do beat Scotland, and if they can beat Norway, which maybe I think no. If they can beat Norway all later in the year, or yeah, well, it's gonna be later in the year, June or later in 2023. I think they could be honestly a contender to make it in through either the play-in rounds or just normal qualifying. Group B. This group is honestly pretty kind of boring, not even gonna lie, because it was mainly dominated by the World Cup finalists. France, honestly, they completely dominated the Netherlands, and I forgot who else they played, but it was total domination. I think honestly they're a favorite to win the Euro 2024 tournament. Their squad is just incredible. And keep in mind, in the World Cup, they did not have a full squad. A lot of their players were injured. So I think this team is just going to completely go out there and dominate in Euro 2024. They already are in Euro 2024 qualifying. That great 4-0 win against Netherlands. Yeah, they're amazing. With Mbappe, obviously. Netherlands. Speaking of them. Yeah, they're okay. That was a awful, awful, embarrassing loss to France, but they're a good enough team, and the rest of the teams in the group I think are just inexperienced or not qualified. Obviously, the team after them, Greece, or actually who I think is in front of them right now, I'm not sure. Greece does have some potential if they can beat the Netherlands, if they can pull away a good result from France. They can honestly give the Netherlands a run for their money in like automatic qualification. Ireland, a lot of people are saying this. Ireland's a good team, but just not yet. They have a lot of young players with who I think have good potential, but just not yet. And it really showed in their games. Gibraltar, yeah, no. Like, I can't name one player from the Gibraltar national team. That should be telling you something, since I know a lot about soccer. Yeah, no. They haven't had good results. I think they lost both of their games, so just no. Group C. Group C is going to be an interesting group, especially later in the year with bigger games happening. The rematch of England and Italy, Italy versus Ukraine. Those will be huge games. But overall, the winner of this group, like that last week, who basically like dominated, was England. England had a good result in a revenge game against Italy for the Euro 2020 final. It was like a revenge game because they played them in the final and they lost on penalties, which was heartbreaking for them. But they got the revenge when they beat them 2-1. Granted, on a Kane penalty, a Kane penalty. I said a Kane penalty. That's funny. But they were very good against Ukraine as well. So I think that they will definitely advance. It's obviously too early to tell, but two wins against two, the only, honestly, I think the only competition in the group, yeah, it's going to be pretty easy. Italy, honestly, I would say that this international break is a win for them. You can call me wrong, but I think it's honestly a good win for them, this entire international break, because obviously they lost against England, but they did come back and win against Malta 2-0. Granted, they didn't have their best squad in against Malta, because obviously they would have beaten them by a lot more. Italy's a weird situation because we're seeing, honestly, and I think it's really good, they're including younger players, which I've been telling people what this team needs to do is include the younger players. A lot of Italy's players in that Euro 2020 squad are either retired or they're just really old and they're still playing, like Bonucci, Jorginho, Chiellini, I think, retired from the national team. So it's time for the next generation of Italian soccer to step up. We saw that with Sandro Tonali was in there. Marco Verratti's becoming more of a leader. Retegui, honestly, it seems like they're new number 9 because Immobile is beginning to age. And I think the Federation finally realizes that he only does good with Lazio and Serie A, not really with the Italian national team. Retegui scored in both games he scored once against Malta, and he did score once against England. But honestly, if they keep developing him as a player, he could become really good. In terms of like Ukraine and the rest of the group, honestly, North Macedonia and Malta just do not have a chance, especially with their recent results. And Ukraine might overtake Italy in the standings because they play them later in the year. It's solely, I think, the way that they can qualify automatically solely depends on the way they play against Italy later in the year, because I think they played them twice. In Group D, Croatia and Wales, honestly, I think will easily dominate that group as they already have been. They both won, and they had a very hard-fought draw. So, honestly, I don't think that any of the rest of the teams can beat them. Except for maybe Turkey. It depends how they play against Wales. Because they've won a couple of their games. Or I think it was one. They just need to find a way to shift around Wales. Maybe, just maybe, they can get in front of them. Group E, I think Czechia, honestly, a surprising win against Poland. It was they played incredibly well, and I think that they can definitely make it out of this group, Group E. And that's honestly all the evidence I need. They could lose against Poland, but if they beat them at least once, and I don't think the other teams will in that group. And yeah, I think they'll dominate. Poland will also do well, and honestly, I think it's really just because they have zero competition. Like, will Moldova and the Faroe Islands really try? Well, not really try. Will they really beat Czechia and Poland? Like, no, it's not gonna happen. Yeah, there's just no way. Group F, very hard to decide on, like, what's gonna happen so far. As I said with most groups, but this group has been very, very tight. Austria, Belgium, Sweden, honestly, I think all have great chances. But the only teams I don't think have chances because they're way too small is Estonia and Azerbaijan. That's the only teams. But Austria, they're great. Belgium has always been ranked at the top. Maybe they can have another golden generation, actually do something with them. and Sweden, Zlatan being the oldest player in a Euro qualifying match, I think they can still do good. They still have a lot of young players, like I think Alexander Isak plays for them, and Antony Elanga, but I think that Austria, Belgium, Sweden, it's very, very tight up there at the top, and any of them could potentially advance. Now talking about Group G, easily Serbia is going to go ahead. They have an group, so that's why Mitrovic, Vlahovic, and everyone else's last name ends in itch. They've all performed great in this qualifying cycle, and they just have an easy group. In terms of the people who I think can qualify along with them, Hungary and Montenegro, honestly, if either of them wins the game against each other later in the year, I think either of them can qualify. And obviously, say if one of them like ties against Serbia and the other doesn't, that can also affect stuff. Or if the other one wins, we don't know. But we'll see what happens. In Group H, Slovenia and Denmark are probably the two best teams, even though it's still kind of up in the air from what we've seen. They just need to prove, Slovenia mainly needs to prove themselves versus Kazakhstan and Denmark, because they haven't been playing good teams. Denmark, I believe Slovenia played San Marino and Northern Ireland. They just need to prove themselves against Denmark and Kazakhstan, as I just said. And Denmark, they just need to recover. And Kazakhstan is honestly okay. They just need to play Slovenia. Group I can't believe we're going past, honestly, I think this is 10 groups, I think. That's crazy, because it involves basically like all the countries in Europe, which there's a lot, as you can tell. That's 40 countries in this qualifying, so there's a lot to cover. Switzerland in Group I, easy, they have an easy group. And Romania has been playing well as well, and it's just honestly based on the fact that the rest of their group is, that's what I think it is with most of these countries, because the thing is, you can have, like, what is it, in Group H, Denmark, who went to the semifinals in the last Euro, playing the worst, statistically, FIFA-ranked, the worst national team in the world, San Marino. So, honestly, the reason I'm saying this is because, like, if you look at FIFA rankings, even though they're, like, kind of rigged, in my opinion, but if you just look at the history and how the team's been doing in recent form and friendlies, that's what I'm basing my, like, predictions slash, like, form on. And then Group J, which is the last group, Portugal, obviously. They don't have much competition, as I just said, as it is with a lot of teams. Ronaldo actually did really well in their finals and their games against Luxembourg and Liechtenstein. Honestly, I'm just happy to see him having like a lot of fun in the end of his career. I'm not a Ronaldo stan. I like Messi better, but they're both incredible. That's what I think. Slovakia, they can do something. It's just they had a really good win against Bosnia, and Bosnia needs to improve on, obviously, their loss against Slovakia, and they need to have a good result against Portugal to honestly get back in the competition. Not the competition, but, like, you know what I mean, like, to get competitive again. All right, that was pretty much all of the Euro 2024 qualifying information that I pretty much had for this episode. It sounds like I'm going to end it, but I'm not going to end the episode here, because I also asked what league you guys wanted me to talk about. Originally, I was going to make my predictions for the match week of these two upcoming leagues, the EPL and the MLS, but it was a 50-50 in the poll on Instagram, so I'm just gonna do both. The EPL, I originally thought City was gonna beat Liverpool, and they did, even though I'm, as a Liverpool supporter, I was freaking out when Salah scored. I'm like, is it gonna happen? Are we gonna beat them again? That didn't happen. We're in eighth place now. Yeah, things are not going to turn out well. That was a really, really good win for City. It's keeping them kind of in the title race, because the thing is, we have to accept the fact that Arsenal are like 8 points ahead of them, which is not good for City, and they need to catch up fast and hope that Arsenal also slips up a couple of times. So, yeah, but definitely good wins for City. A great win for Newcastle, honestly. They handled United great, 2-0, I think it was. And it's crucial for them because they were behind United, and they needed this win to go ahead of them. And United, since they won the League Cup, I literally don't have any idea what's happened to them. They've just gone downhill. My two teams that I have going downhill are Liverpool and United. Liverpool was starting to do good, but then all of a sudden, yeah, and United just has, as I said, has not been the same since that League Cup win. I honestly don't know what happened to them. Yeah, I think Villa and Newcastle are going up. Villa had that good win against Chelsea. Chelsea, obviously, as I said, devastation. They're panicking there, which they shouldn't. They should remain controlled and think about next season. But it doesn't look like Todd Boehly cares about next season. So they're just hoping for a top 10 at this point. Villa definitely going up. They've won, actually, all of their matches since, or they've never lost, I think it is, a match since the start of 2023, and they're third in the table in terms of EPL teams since the beginning of the year. So they've been doing great, and Newcastle has won their last two games. So I think rebounding from that loss against Liverpool is big for them, and yeah, so I think they'll do good. The next league I wanted to talk about is a domestic league for me. It's the MLS, Major League Soccer. I recently haven't really watched too many of the games, especially since now they're on like Apple TV or something, they basically sold their souls to Apple for $5 million. Don't ask me why. Americanisms. I don't know. But so far from what I've seen, St. Louis, I don't know how, they're the newest MLS team. They've existed for a couple of years in expansion, but like now it's their first year of actual play. Somehow, they're first place in the Western Conference. I don't know how. They just lost, but I think they're a really great team, especially from that first game. I knew something was special in St. Louis from the moment I watched that first game. That great win. And honestly, I think that this team could go on to do great things in the coming years, obviously. I don't think they can win it all this year, or maybe they can. I don't know. But I just think they're too young of a team so far. Seattle has returned after a absence of a couple years of being eh. They recently won the CONCACAF Champions League. They didn't do that well in the World Club Cup. They were the first American team to appear in the World Club Cup, even though they got destroyed. Well, not destroyed. They just got outplayed by Al Ahly of Egypt. So this is kind of like a rebound year for them, especially since they haven't been doing that well in recent years. LAFC, champions of the league, they're still great. That's all I have to say about them. They had their rings given to them, their championship rings. That's something we do in American soccer. And Bale was there as well. But we'll see what happens with the Western Conference. In terms of like the Eastern Conference, FC Cincinnati, who started playing like 2020 or like, no, not 2020, 2021, they started to play. They have been doing really good this year with a lot of good results. I believe they're the only team in the MLS so far that hasn't lost a game. So I'm excited to see what they do. First of all, when we're talking about the Eastern Conference, let's talk about the MLS Player of the Month, Thiago Almada. Almada was on the Argentine winning World Cup squad. That bicycle, or was it? It was like a volley / bicycle kick goal he scored. It was great. He's been great the entire first month of the season, hence why he's Player of the Month. He's being looked at by European teams, especially since he was on a World Cup winning team. Specifically, I would think that EPL teams are looking at him, or maybe La Liga teams. But basically, I think that he's doing good in the MLS. This is just a springing stone for the next big step, which is European soccer. Columbus and New England have been doing okay, and they're starting to fight for that third spot. Keep in mind, I think it's the top seven of each conference, or six of each conference, go on to the MLS playoffs. We're just beginning the season. We're only a couple games in, and I think there's about like about 15 teams in each conference, because there's about 30 teams in the entire league. That will do it for today. Thank you guys for listening. I haven't seen a lot of you guys listening on Spotify, so if this is your first time listening on Spotify, thanks, because you guys should listen on Spotify. I'm going to encourage that. Wherever you're listening from, thank you for listening, and I will see you in the next episode. Ciao.